Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. In for Justin Bourne. Let's welcome in former general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yes, that is Stellectricity you hear. Gord Stellick joining Sammy McKee and I. Gordo, thanks for coming in, pal.
Changing on the fly. I like it. Just it out. Didn't cut the mustard. I'm here. I'm ready.
Brought in the closer, baby.
Showtime. That's it.
That is awesome. We are just completed the second leg of the Global Series in Stockholm, Sweden, where William Nylander extended his point streak to 16 games as the Leafs rally back on the Red Wings. That was a game, Gord, that didn't show much promise in the first 40 minutes, but it was a heck of a finish.
Kippy, Stockholm Syndrome. Remember the Stockholm Syndrome? First 40 minutes, they're holed up at a bank vault, and all the cops are outside, and they got the hostages, and that was kind of it. It was just that kind of siege mentality. Nothing was going on, and then the last 20 minutes, you know what? They're finding ways to win games. Maybe it won't work in the playoffs, but they're finding ways to work games. That was pretty entertaining.
So we call this segment of our show Off the Rails Friday, and it's led by Doug McLean, because that's what usually happens is he drives it into the ditch. But, you know, this one has a chance to really fall off because Gord Stellick has got a new book out called Revival.
Yes.
With Damian Cox, and it's a journey through the Toronto Maple Leafs. In the late 70s, when they advanced and beat Justin Bourne's father-in-law.
The big series against the New York Islanders.
Clark Gillies and the Islanders.
Yeah, and it came because last year when Boria visited, how iconic they were. He is. And Tiger Williams, Lanny McDonald, Daryl Sittler, Boria are still great friends all these years later. So anyway, that precipitated the book. And I just go by bookstores now, and I put it over Doug McLean's book. You know you do that? You did that with Kipper, right? You stop by and you front your book, right?
Listen,
guerrilla warfare.
I don't have the heart to tell him that your books knocked him off the bestsellers list. So,
well, that's not tell. Let's keep it quiet. Let's keep it quiet.
All right, let's welcome in the author of Draft Day, Doug McLean. Hopefully, you didn't hear that intro.
Bulletin. I have a bulletin. The Toronto Star. Total nonfiction, Canada and the U.S., number 10, draft day.
Wow.
Excellent.
Canadian nonfiction, Globe and Mail, Toronto Star, number 3, draft day. So, Gord, I wish you good luck on yours, well, but 7 weeks in a row in the bestseller, I don't know.
Ours just got out. We gave you a lead. That's all, Doug. I'm like secretariat now coming down the stretch here. Hey, we're going to support each other. Struggling Canadian board authors. Two great reads to get for Christmas. How about that, Doug?
I agree. I think anything with Damian Cox and you, I would rush out to buy it. Can I get it down here at Costco or where?
Actually, I'll drive by your house and flag me down, okay? I got about 10 in my trunk.
No, you know what? Good luck on that, Gordon. In all seriousness, I really, doing that interview with you on Sirius there in the morning, gave us the greatest start you could ever have.
There you go.
And we really appreciate it, and I loved it.
Okay. Well, it was fun. Fun having Doug in and talking all about his book, Kipper.
But I have a question. Did the Leafs win the Cariello Cup tonight? It had to be the Cariello Cup, which we all used to go to Sweden for the European in-season championship. Did they win it? Because you guys were on a high. Oh, my God. It was the greatest win in the history of hockey.
Okay. So give us your rundown of what you witnessed today there, expert.
Well, I witnessed Sam being all excited about Börje Salming coming in and talking to the team.
Oh, his son. His son. Matt Sundin came in.
Doug, it was
Sundin. And it was Börje's son who dropped
Anders,
the puck.
His son, Anders.
Matt Sundin.
Did you watch the game?
I've been thinking a lot about Börje because of the going back after the situation last year with the Hall of Fame and Daryl Sittler and everything with Börje. So and seeing the movie and so on. So it's really been a really trying time for everybody over there. So it was great to see a big win today.
Maybe a good explanation of why they started off so slow, and it was one of those games where it was you really thought at the time that maybe one goal would be enough, the first one would win, but it must be hard for coaches, general managers to take a team over there in a short period of time and get them ready, Mac.
Yeah, it's not easy. You know, the whole situation over there isn't easy, but look, they didn't play great, but once the big boys started to come alive in the third period, I thought Tavares' line was good the entire game, but Marner took another step in the third period, had a great third period, made a couple of big plays, and the energy just took off from Marner, Nylander. Tavares was terrific. What about Tavares? 68% on faceoffs. He gets kicked out of the faceoff. Tell you how good Nylander is. He goes in and wins the faceoff. And then scores. And you know what? I got to tell you, Bertuzzi gave them a good third period, a really good third period tonight. And that was encouraging for the Leafs to see.
So, Doug, how do you balance as a coach? Okay, they had a 3-goal lead against Calgary. They blew it, but they won the game. Again, they had to come from behind. They were behind last Saturday, took some penalties, but beat Vancouver. The end result, you want to win, obviously. And they're getting that. They're finding ways. But the fact that it's kind of choppy and uneven in how they do it, how much does that concern you?
Well, with the blue line they have, and albeit there's a couple of guys, you know, in the lineup that probably won't be there, maybe a few guys in the lineup that won't be there if they can make a couple of trades. I think with this blue line, you're going to have a lot of games like that. You are going to have games like that where you're giving up chances, you're giving up big plays, you're giving up coverage around the net. You're just not, and I talked about it on Nick's show a week ago, they're just not good enough on the back end right now. And they've got to address it. They've got to get better if they're going to have success. But as a forward group, they can make up for a lot, especially with the way they played in the third period.
We're joined by Doug McLean, famous author of the book Draft Day, What It Takes to Win. Is that right? Did I say that okay?
No,
for
but
you?
It's, you know what, that's all I need. I mean, there's so much, like, the way the books are flying off the shelves, we don't need a lot more publicity. We want to tone down a little bit if we can, you know?
You're going to be writing, you're going to be writing soon about the Vancouver Canucks and the turnaround of their season so far. I know a bit of a hiccup the other night, but come on, sitting atop of the Western Conference, who saw that?
Well, I'll tell you what, Pettersson and Hughes, and Miller, they've been so good. Demko, who come back from missing, a tough year last year. I mean, he has been that good. He's played great. That big three on that team has been real good. Plus Demko, they look real good right now. They're not an easy team to beat. Will they come back to earth? Probably they will.
Do you ever feed your dog?
Yeah, somebody must have came to the door, or he's excited. You know what?
Are you sure it's a dog? I think it's a parrot.
I was going to be on national TV, and he thought I was fired and out of that business, so he sort of caught off guard.
So, okay, you know one thing about Vancouver? We've all been in a lot of different situations. Fundamental, and we like Jimmy Rutherford a lot, but last year it shows, get rid of, like, when you're in, the best organizations have no white noise around them, right? Vancouver had the most white noise in the league last year, and they hardly have any this year, and that allows the guys to play and perform.
You're part of the white noise in Toronto. So.
No.
What are you talking about?
Well, no, the media not. I'm talking about within. You create your own stuff. We can make all the white noise we want. No one's a bigger part than you are with white noise. You and Kipper going back and forth. But within an organization, to start off saying, I don't like the way the training camp's going, the coach is on tenderhooks, all this kind of stuff, you know, which player's going to go, got to get rid of Bo Horvat. Like, it just shows that if players want to focus on stuff inside the dressing room. Particularly in the big Canadian markets.
Didn't they tell Bruce Boudreau that they were giving him a 20-game evaluation at the start of the season or something crazy? Like, it was the craziest I mean, Bruce Boudreau was on watch longer than any coach in the history of hockey as to when he was getting fired. It was a joke. You're right. It was a joke. I think maybe Patrick Allen found his way as a GM and maybe has taken charge a little bit. I think Jimmy Rutherford obviously was instrumental in bringing Tocchet in, calm things down. You look at their assistant coach, Adam Foote, there, solid guy. They've got some real good hockey people in their front, on their coaching staff. I think they really did a nice job solidifying things. And then you look at Pettersson. Nick and I talked years ago. He looked like Datsyuk 3 years ago when Travis Green was there. Hughes is one of the greatest young defensemen to come along in a long time. And as I mentioned, Demko, Miller seems to finally not be pouting or whatever his problem has been. I don't know. Besser, where did Besser come from? They couldn't find him. So all of a sudden, there's a lot of really good things happening there. And I suspect Tocchet is a huge part of it.
So you get to look like a genius when your star players show up. One general manager that isn't getting that is Yarmo in Columbus.
Wow.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it was bobblehead night for Johnny Hockey, Johnny Gaudreau. And
that's as tough I said one last goal. Night, as I said last night, Johnny Gaudreau has one goal and it's an empty net goal. And they have bobblehead night. Wouldn't you have thought that we will postpone that till he gets two or three goals? I said yesterday that Johnny Gaudreau bobble night was a bigger joke than when I was coaching Florida and the bobble night was Jeff Rimmer. Jeff Rimmer bobblehead night. Like I said, what? When we got no players, we can get to Jeff Rimmer bobblehead night?
So can you take the Johnny Gaudreau one and get for like a buck, get it nailed to a bench or something? You know, just to be.
But listen, tell me I'm dreaming here. So it's a 1-1 game, and then it goes to 3-1. The last 9.5 minutes, the coach Pascal puts Johnny Gaudreau and Line A on the bench for the last 9.5 minutes of the game. And I'm thinking, just a minute. Pascal, that's $20 million almost of your salary cap that you plunked on the bench tonight. You, what you do with star players, and I've said this I don't know how many times, take a power play away from them. Take a couple of shifts away from them. But to put $20 million on the bench, and you think you're going to win that as a first-year NHL coach? I'm sorry. I don't get it.
Listen, it was almost as if Yarmo was on the hot seat the moment you found out that he had to get rid of Babcock here. How long do they go here, Mac? And if you have to look at that lineup yet again and regroup, I mean, don't you have to make some hard decisions now in Columbus?
Yeah, like it's really tough. I feel for them. It's really tough. I mean, JD and Kekalainen walked out of that meeting where their jobs were basically told to them in that press conference that their jobs are they're on the clock. Kekalainen has come out and said, you know, we're going to make the playoffs. We're a playoff team. I don't know what's going to take place. You end up with Babcock leaving amid like the craziest scenario you could ever imagine. Didn't surprise me, but it was the craziest scenario ever. And then they have to put the assistant coach in, who I hear is a solid guy, solid coach. But this is a lot to ask when your jobs are on the line. And, I mean, if I'm Kekalainen walking from my – well, I used to sit in the press box. Apparently, they all sit in private suites now. When I'm walking from my private suite down to the dressing room, I'm a little worried about my job and about the team making the playoffs.
Just quickly before you jump in here, Gordon. That you know, no one knows that market in Columbus better than you. I mean, is there a risk that people just will get frustrated to the point where they just stop showing up?
Well, I'll tell you what, the fans have been unbelievable. They have been such a good supportive group from day one. They are terrific, the fans. They really are. But they are really upset right now. And I've talked to some people in Columbus today. They are really ticked off. And they're calling for people's heads right now. And, you know, the frustrating thing is when you, like, you've got the young, you know, top pick, Fantilli.
Yep.
When is he going to say, I want out of here? That's the problem you're up against, is you can't continually have your top players asking to leave town. Look, I don't know what gives here, but they've got to figure it out. I mean, it's year 24. I mean, I was there the first 7 or 8 years. I mean, I had an excuse, didn't I? This is year 24.
So jeez, another one. God. Yeah, they've not been the same since Doug McClain's left. We'll absolutely say that, the Columbus Blue Jackets. But, you know, it's an interesting line about the fans starting to turn. And how would you characterize it with the New York Islanders? Because, you know, the fans, first of all, they got their arena finally. Okay, so hallelujah. You lived off that. They could be venomous towards John Tavares for leaving for a couple of years. And they're a place people want to stay. They don't leave. Like, guys re-up, you know, to stay there by and large. But they're getting a little restless. I mean, is the Islander team got to figure out, do we have a real chance to win? Or we have to look at maybe retooling?
Who's gonna break that news to Lou that we think you should rebuild at 81?
He did it with the Toronto Maple Leafs, his last place.
Yeah, but he was only 77.
But he looks better now. Lou's in great health. He looks better now. He always does the
thing. Come on, you can't. You know,
what's his age got to do with whether you rebuild or stay the course? Like, I mean,
Have you listened to Joe Biden lately?
I've listened to Joe Biden, but I mean, have you listened to the Islander fans lately? And stuff, you know, starting to turn a little bit in that regard.
No, they get a little extra time because they went through Millbury. That's what they said about me in Columbus. You know?
All roads go back to you in Columbus. Every team goes back to Doug McClain in Columbus.
As I said to somebody today, I don't remember anybody asking to be traded when I was a GM there. David Viborni, Ray Whitney, none of those guys ever demanded to be traded.
Hey, apparently the National Hockey League's got some major work to do fixing the 3-on-3 in overtime. Are they going to call you and get your advice on that?
Oh my God. I get such a chuckle. I was in the meeting, both the Board of Governors and the GM's meeting when the 3-on-3 was approved. I was actually sitting there, and I'll never forget Mike Ilitch and Jimmy Devolano adamantly, you know, really wanted nothing to do with the shootout, 3-on-3. It was just, they were dead against it. And I'm thinking, what is going to come? Then as I watch it, I get excited about 3-on-3. I get excited about watching it. And now it's like, are you kidding me? It has become a joke. It is, as you said, it's not hockey. It's a farce. It's regroup. Then you change. And then you regroup. And then you change. I mean, it has become a circus. I don't blame them for wanting to change it. But what are they going to do? Now put a bunch of rules in that you can't regroup? Come on.
No, but wait a second. It's exciting, and it gets a result. Okay, we don't have ties. So, you know, you could have things like the bench can be, instead of the far change, you could have the close change. You could have the thing that if you, once you go inside the blue line, you can't take it back out or gets a whistle. You could have a clock about, hey, baseball put a clock in, and they sped up the time of the game, and it was... Like, I'm open to ideas because, it is exciting. People like it. Okay, maybe it's gimmicky, but in the regular season, people like it.
Well, I think they should try the 3-second clock from basketball first. see if we can put that in. You know?
3 seconds in the key. Okay, we got that one down. Listen,
nobody is allowed to go in the slot area. You're only allowed in there for 3 seconds, and then you got to regroup. Oh, my God. I don't even... You know what? I don't care what they do with it. I don't care what they do with it. They'll figure it out. They're really good at setting up committees, and you know, they'll have 25 people in this committee to work on the 3-on-3, and then they'll come up with a good strategy.
Do you recall like what led us to this to begin with? Was it the fact that it just strictly we didn't like ties anymore, or we weren't giving the customer value for three periods. They weren't entertained enough. We need something else. Where did this all start?
Can you check the 95-96 Florida Panthers? I think we had 26 ties in that season.
But that's where it started. 26. That's where it started. No, I mean about ties. Like that was the genesis of it all.
Yeah. But then we had the big discussion about should we award more point, you know, a half a point or a point, and, you know, try that. And no.
Doug, okay, they always wanted a result. And then when the lockout ended and the league won, not only did Gary Bettman announce the end of the lockout, and he goes, by the way, here's 30 other things. You know, bang, bang, bang. And they were all because they got their way to put whatever they wanted to try. And that's been in place ever since.
Yeah.
No,
look, I think they've got to come up with something. I loved the 3-on-3 a couple of years ago. I was 100. I loved it. But as I watch it this year, it started to hit me that it's become, you know, and why would anybody be surprised? You coach for it now. You've got to coach for it. So what happens? The 12 coaches on the team work about how are we going to do this? And they've come up with the whole regroup strategy. So you never lose the puck for the whole 5 minutes. You know, you just regroup, change. You know, it's masterful how the coaches can come up with these strategies. And now they've got to outdo the coaches again.
All right. Anything else you want to spill off your chest and all that heat in Florida right now? Or are you good?
Has your book moved up the ranks since we talked?
I don't know. Somebody told me yesterday it's selling off the shelves, so I don't know what's going on.
You better get more security at the bookstores.
Or they're just now removing them off the shelves.
Did I hear you say that before I come on, that Bertuzzi's pass will change his season, that one pass he made in the slot?
I think it's got a chance to rally him a little bit. Yes, I do. You don't?
Well, I think what would rally him more than that one little pass, which was a nice play and I was really happy for him, was playing with Tavares and Nylander. I think that would be a plus for him, don't you?
But yeah, but didn't work with Matthews and Marner so much, so obviously there seems to be some kind of chemistry, so I agree. I mean, obviously, Nick's success he's talking about is predicated a lot on staying with that line, right?
I would say so right now.
You know what I love about the line is Tavares makes a lot of things happen around the paint with his game. A lot, and he gets the puck to the slot area, and if this kid will just go and bang and do a job, I mean, he hasn't been very good, and that was a big game for him. And Nylander has been so good. And Tavares was real good today, guys. Real good today. So, you know, even in the first two periods when everybody else was not that good, that line was real good.
All right, we'll let you get back to your parrot or your dog. Like, if you hit certain sales, can you buy your dog a new bark? Like, or a new, deeper his, one?
His name is Newman.
Okay, Newman. All right. Say hi to Newman for us.
Take care, guys.
All right.
See you, Doug.
Doug McClain, author of Draft Day and How to Pick Winners or Get Left Behind. All right, we're going to take a, what? What are you looking at me for?
Nothing. You just, when his dog started barking, you looked over at me. I locked eyes.
I thought it was a parent.
I wasn't sure. Like, you always get worried, is it a grandchild or something? Like, I had that once on radio. I said to someone about their dog, and it was a newborn.
Well, yeah. But remember,
you got to be careful.
I don't even know where to go for that one.
I didn't either.
There's a clip of you from the morning show all those years back. Theo, pick up your clothes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're going to leave that one buried, okay? All right, we're going to take a quick break and more with Real Kipper and Bourne and Gord Stellick after these words.
Your daily dose of everything NFL. It's the Fan Checkdown with Matt Marchese and Donovan Bennett. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
are back. Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Special co-host Gord Stellick as JB gets ready for a stint on television tonight. Terrific job, by the way. You know, I catch you every once in a while in the morning and sometimes with you and Steve Coolius, who, you know, every broadcast that Steve Coolius does should be brought to you by Tylenol.
That's about it.
You know.
Well, NHL Network Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 91. So I appreciate that. So fun hockey show. Just like, and have you done your read you're supposed to do? You just did it, right?
No.
I got to do. We got to do
the read. Okay, then I'll ask. See, you're good on the ins and outs, right? It's not as easy sitting in that chair, right?
I have, every time I start this show, I'm like, I'm way over my skis right now.
Gordy, the amount he has improved from the start till now. He is smooth. He's a smooth animal now. He's got to figure it out.
But it used to be like the intro and extra. The person, they called them like bingo callers, right? They're talking heads, you know, kind of thing. But no, it's hard. It's hard to be in that seat and control all that stuff. You know, it's like an air traffic controller. So probably a plane or two has crashed on your watch, but I've had the same thing. Yeah. I just mean that. So
when Sammy's at his best and he really upsets me with what he's saying, then I can shut down everything else and just find out ways why I think he's like out in left field.
But I know you got to get the reads in.
All right. Okay. It's actually me that doesn't know.
Okay.
It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. And since we have you here, Gord, I was going through, because sometimes I do games the night of, but I was just looking through the NHL futures for the trophies and some of the favorites for the trophies at the end of the year. So I'm just asking you if the favorite to you, if there's any value in somebody else. So the favorite for the Calder, the Rookie of the Year, is obviously Connor Bedard, heavy favorite.
Correct.
The next two are Logan Cooley at 8-1 and Luke Hughes at 16-1. Can you see any world where it's not Connor Bedard?
No. Can't.
Kipper? Okay. You watch him last night?
Not a
quiet
chance. Yeah,
quiet.
I know, but he's still going to find a way to keep probably a 45, 50 goal pace for the next month and a half. And then if he drops a little bit, he'll end up with his 35, 37 goals.
But here, I think, was it Gretzky that said he looked better than he expected him to hear him say that? So that was nice. That's a nice compliment to get from Gretzky. So the Hart Memorial Trophy, the favorite is Connor McDavid, which I think we've mentioned here before, but Austin Matthews is a close second. Jack Hughes at plus 550. Pastrnak, Elias Pettersson, Kucherov, and MacKinnon would round out the top there. So anyone underneath there that you think is interesting? Pettersson at 10-1?
Oh, I think all kinds. And again, I don't know, like McDavid being 100% or not. I don't, like whatever the deal is. Let's face it, Austin Matthews took advantage of a bit of an off year and a hurt year, and he won it. Otherwise, it's McDavid's trophy every year.
Yeah.
But I think this year, Kippy, you start with the Vancouver gang for starters. And I think there's and Austin Matthews, again, there's a lot of names in the mix.
I threw out Sid's name the other day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Underrated Sidney Crosby.
He is 100-1.
Well, that's, you know, I know they lost yesterday, but they had got on a bit of a tear, and he's the guy.
Yeah.
You know, while they were talking, you know.
And I think we expect Jack Hughes to be back in the lineup soon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they won yesterday without him. And that's a big reason the Vancouver guys, I'm not saying, are leading now in scoring. Because, I mean, Jack Hughes was the guy before he got hurt, but all those other Canucks now are.
And just looking down the list a little bit, William Nylander, 40-1. There's only three guys in the league with more points than him, and they're all in Vancouver. Jack Adams, the runaway favorite right now, is Rick Tocchet. Any, you know, Bruce Cassidy's up there. Derek Lalonde, for some reason, is close up there. Rob Brind'Amour, Jared Bednar, but Rick Tocchet to me if they keep up.
Nobody mentioned, like, Jim Montgomery.
Yeah, he's down the list a little bit.
Yeah, why?
I think it's hard to win it 2 years in a row. He won last year going away.
I don't
away,
care. Right? Everybody thought they were going to be missing the playoffs this year.
And this
is the year you acknowledge him.
And Kevin Paul DuPont had a stat that last year they had a phenomenal year.
Yeah.
And they were they averaged 8 minutes a game that they played behind. Okay, now it's 6 minutes.
Yeah,
so they're even like
they're even better than
they're ridiculous. And also, let's throw Laviolette in New York.
Where's he?
Laviolette is down the list a little bit here. I'm just looking for him.
And Dallas, we got some good coaches.
DeBoer,
out there.
Is Pete 14-1. Laviolette, both 14-1. So I think, you know, the job that Laviolette's doing, obviously they're humming right now.
Hold on. When we're on coaches.
Yeah, what do you got?
Paul Maurice, because they're getting Ekblad back.
Yeah.
And
Montour.
Paul Maurice is way down there, 25-1.
But they've
been on a tear. They lost 2-1 to Los Angeles last night, but they've been on a tear. They won 5 in a row before that.
So, I mean, how does he not get any love?
Totally.
And the other ones quickly are the Norris. Quinn Hughes is a runaway favorite at the moment. Kale McCarr a little bit behind him there, and then it's Rasmus Dahlin, then it goes way up. So I think that's pretty much the three guys that could win it there. Rocket Richard, Matthews is the heavy favorite. Pasternak, Connor McDavid breathing it down his throat. And the Vezina is Sorokin, Ottinger, and Demko are the three top favorites.
As far as the Rocket, Richard, Gord, every year, Ovi in the mixed.
Yeah.
Have you seen enough to say this is now, we are now witnessing the downfall? Even if he scores 30 goals, which would be fine for a guy his age without wear and tear over the years to safely get to a Gretzky record in 2+ years.
Well,
or late next year. I mean, where do you see Ovi moving forward?
So, I mean, Backstrom had been out before, so it's not like it's totally because Backstrom's not healthy that Ovi's not scoring at the same kind of rate. But all of, and the Capitals have played better of late. So it's not like they're getting killed and Ovi's not scoring. They've actually played better of late, got some wins, but Ovi hasn't been the factor. So, yeah, the guy's only human. And I think it's the last couple of years. And Sammy, you cited Wayne Gretzky. And one thing, Wayne, when he talks about the record, he said Ovi's had a way of being healthy. Yeah. Phenomenal ability to be healthy. And he's a very physical player. But all of a sudden, yeah, you're starting to see that. And now the assumption that he was going to get that record is not quite as clear.
No, I think it's there's a little bit more doubt than there was last year. Anyways,
that about was the record?
Yeah.
Oh, that big of a drop-off? People are bailing out on him?
No, but I mean, at this particular pace right now, he's at a snail's pace right now.
Yeah, I know. But he's still going to... I think he's still on pace for almost 30 goals, is he not?
Well, he's only got 4.
Okay.
What did you get in math?
Well, I've never said that he's going to break it.
He's only played like 14, 15 games.
Okay, so times 5.
Oh, 20, I 25?
Oh, no. Okay.
Well, but he is an athlete.
How many did you say? You said 20 or 30?
I said 25, 30.
Okay.
Well, good thing Bet365.
He's on pace for 23.
Okay.
But I got him at 30. I'll get him at 27 to 30 goals.
Well, another guy like Josh Morrissey, when you're talking Norris, you know, out of Winnipeg.
Let me throw him a bone.
So, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, let me just get us out of here, and then we can go ahead.
Okay, sorry,
that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
See, earlier in the year, I'd kind of run over him on the out of that.
Yeah.
And I got in trouble.
Okay, well, this is my first time, so I'll be good. I'll be good. So, Connor Bedard, who we all agree is going to win the Calder Trophy. Mm-hmm. So, that word, the code, it's a bit of a dramatic word, but just you being the former player, and of course, 2023 version. So, it was against Florida, right, where he got hit?
Yes.
Teammates stood up for him?
Yeah.
All good. Now, earlier, Marchand had kind of given him the, you know, like the kind of push again.
I saw that.
So, all of a sudden, this one, Tkachuk's there, okay, right in Bedard's face. Now, he's obviously not expecting him to fight, okay, obviously. They don't, you know, but is he just telling him, you're gonna have to stand up for yourself, or we're gonna hit the crap out of you, or what kind of message is he giving back? Because this guy's just being a nice 18-year-old kid standing there and whatever, and his teammates are sticking up, and he's gonna be a big asset for the league, like the Tkachuk brothers are. What's Tkachuk saying to him?
I think there's a little bit of that take it easy, not tonight. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be great, but not on our watch tonight.
And we're going to hit you. We're going to still hit you.
They're not worried about hitting him, and they're not worried about any repercussions out of Chicago. So, you know, that's just he doesn't seem fazed by it. And I know the hit in Florida, he got up rather quickly. You know, he's not a guy that wants to lay on the ice and be overdramatic on anything. And I think with his size over his career, that he's probably dealt with it in the past, and it's just part of doing business for him. He's going to score a lot of goals and maybe take a few hits still till Chicago finds a little bit more help for him. But I've loved everything about him so far.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, at first blush, when Tkachuk went up to him, I was like, what's Tkachuk doing? Why is he doing that? then it, you know, it's, he's eligible to be chirped. He's on the ice. He's in the NHL just because he's a young guy. It's like, I think you're like, you know what I know they probably don't like seeing that, but listen, I kind of changed my thought on it. When I first saw it, I thought it was kind of classless from Tkachuk, but then I kind of was like, he's eligible to be hit and chirped. And he's a young guy. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And listen, there's already enough love around the league. Yeah. I've never, sometimes it makes me sick.
Well, Tkachuk fights his brother in the car.
Well,
his
thank God
driving.
We have that.
Yeah.
We've got the commercial where mom needs to separate them. But everybody's so supportive of everybody, and there's so much love now around the league.
I didn't mind it at all.
Bring me that. Bring me some of that.
And you know the old days that if you didn't have the enforcer for Wayne Gretzky, you'd go after the best player, right, on the other team. And that's where it could be a little Stone Age back then. So I never thought it was going to be that. But I thought it spoke volumes for the Florida Panthers just doing that, right? Same thing. One thing I like about the Red Wings was last year when Tkachuk challenged their whole bench. Well, they can't jump over and fight him. They're going to get a 10-game suspension. So they're in Ottawa, and Tkachuk, the other Tkachuk, and he's kind of jabbing away, and all five are on him. You remember that at the end of the whistle?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, Kippy, right, all you need, Sammy, nowadays. That was the debate after the Leafs in Boston.
You don't even have to fight. You don't have to sit there and exchange punches and take a couple of hits to the melon and risk a concussion or anything. But you just have to have
presence.
The presence, you have to have a visual, right? You have to have optics that, okay, I may not fight you, but I'm going to stand here and look you in the eye and I'm not giving you an inch. Even that I'm not giving you an inch. I'm not backing off. I'm here. Let the officials come and break us up, even if I have to have a, can I say an FU contest?
Right.
Am I okay with that?
Yep.
Well, we'll find out.
You can say anything once,
right? Just stand there and have one of those for like 10 seconds, and it'll be almost enough for your fan base to say, hey, at least we're not backpedaling. At least we look like we're interested in standing up. And that's all you need in the year 2023, 24.
I thought Domi did a good job of that today with Sider in front of the net.
We saw that. And Sider was out there leveling the body. And Max went right back at him and ended up pulling him off the ice for 4 minutes. What a great exchange. That guy is a stud D guy.
Yeah.
And you've got him off the ice for 4 minutes. And that's an exchange that Sheldon Keefe would take all day long. And it played a part in the game.
And that showed how he's fitting in as opposed to the end of the Los Angeles game, that he's just trying to make an impression and get something going physical in a game they lost. Hey, happiest guy we feel for today in hockey.
Mm.
The guy's been a stand-up guy on a team that a defenseman had his agent say, basically, I want out of, Jonathan Huberdeau.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's really been... And all of a sudden, they got some breaks, the Calgary Flames. Ordinary goaltending from the Vancouver Canucks. And Huberdeau comes up, gets a few points, and he's not out of the woods yet. But you know, small baby steps for him and maybe the Calgary team.
Listen, I mean, as an ex-player, watching him benched last week and sitting at the end and kind of staring at his stick, like, I felt for him.
Yeah.
As an ex-player, I felt for him that... you know, people can say, well, he makes $10.5 million and I don't care. And that guy had the worst sleep that night because nobody wants to feel like they're stealing money or not earning their share. And for him to come back and have that game the other night, because he's not a 115-point guy. He had 115-point career year.
Yeah.
But he's not, that's not him.
Mm-hmm.
But 50 points ain't him either. So where is it, Jonathan? Find it again and you'll be fine.
No, absolutely. So, I mean, that was one of the other. And so wait, now talking about money. So he hit the mother load at the right time. So you're not you used to be the expert on money. So you're not putting money out there for Nylander? You're not putting numbers out there?
Listen. Oh,
he's putting it out there.
Listen, okay. It's never about what you're worth. It's all about what someone's willing to pay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
So
that's it.
So I got to tell you, Sammy.
Let me have it.
I was with Kippy. We were at Sportsnet. And you'd signed a big contract, one of your big contracts.
Oh, la, la.
And which you're back doing again. Good. You had a couple years. You had a scramble there.
I fooled them for 8 years.
Yeah. you were at with the Baltimore Skipjacks for a couple years, but now you're back. So this other colleague of ours during the break was busting you. And I thought, like, leave him alone and just talk. Well, you didn't leave any money for us or whatever and all that stuff. And I remember you wrote that. You said something about, I had leverage. You have beverage. it made no sense. It made no sense. But it just shut him up. And the guy's trying to give Kip. He goes, no, it's not a budget. I had leverage.
Oh,
and you had beverage.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
You liked
his beers, so yeah, I just said, listen, some of us have leverage, you at least have beverage.
You're not really, narrowing it down. People like beers at Sportsnet. There's a few of us around here not narrowing it down.
Yeah, I don't want it. That's the whole idea.
No, Sammy. Everything very amicable. That's all I'm just saying. Yes. It was a good line. It was a good...
Listen, who's got more leverage right now than Willie Nylander?
Totally.
How about Petey in Vancouver? I mean, he's got he's eligible to sign a contract in July. Like, what's the number? Like, how long?
Well, being an RFA does change it a bit.
No, because you're buying the UFA years, and you will hit the mother load if you just decide to speed it up a year.
Yes, but also you know he's not going to walk next July 1st.
No.
Money-wise, you still got a problem, right? I mean, as far as Finn making it fit.
You don't want to play that game either, I would imagine. If you love him and you feel like you can win a Stanley Cup with him, you're going to want to tie him up as quickly as you can. And right now, you assume that the number is probably closer to 12 than it is 11.
Do you think what we saw with Matthews here on the short-term deal is going to start becoming a trend for these guys? Or do you think it's an outlier with Matthews?
No, I think you're onto something here. And if Petey decides in Vancouver that I'll go 2 or 3 years, he could still end up close to $35, $40 million on a really short-term deal. Mm-hmm. And I think these guys are now willing to bet that the cap goes up, and I don't want to lock myself in and date my contracts, because we've seen so many examples in the past.
Well, that's what Bertuzzi did here, right? Like, he took the one-year deal when he was probably offered longer contracts. So, yeah.
Well, again, I don't know. He got kind of caught in that July 1st shuffle that sometimes you get shuffled out. I think more. Mm-hmm. I think, and again, Auston Matthews, like 4 years isn't like 2 years.
No, of course.
But I think they've seen that, okay, Leon Draisaitl, why'd I sign for 8 years at 8.5? Jack Hughes, first year of eight, you know? So the one thing you go, okay, if I'm David Clarkson and I get hurt after 2 years, I've signed for seven, that's the worst case scenario about a career ending thing. But otherwise, well, you're going to go out and kick ass. Like, you're going to keep throwing, and the money's going to go up, and your leverage is going to go up. And I think the
Jack Hughes is remarkable that New Jersey has him for what, 7 more years at $8 million, because he would be an $11-12 million a year guy today.
If you were ranking like the contracts in the league that are the most valuable, it'd be pretty high on the list in terms of, there'd be a top five, top three type of contract.
Jack Hughes?
Yes.
No, maybe number one.
You think?
Give me another one where it's so...
Like, McCarr's on a pretty good number, and he's amazing.
No, but he's on a shorter-term deal.
No, I think he signed a long-term.
Did he go eight?
Yeah, he did. So, I think he's 925.
He's 925?
I think I'll look it up right now. But, yeah, like, I mean, I think he might be number one in terms of value added. Like, $8 million for how long? It's crazy.
God. But part of the, give the team credit that Jack Hughes took a quantum leap after he signed the contract. You know, after he signed the extension.
Yeah.
So there was a bit of give and take.
You're absolutely right. So, if you go ahead.
So Cale Makar is in year three of a 6-year contract that pays him $9 million per year. Yeah.
Big difference though. Yeah. 6 to 8.
Big difference.
Huge.
No question.
As far as Jack Hughes is concerned, I think he signed that deal coming off a year where he only had like 40 points, 41 points.
He was like Lafreniere.
Right.
You wonder if he's going to get to the next level.
Throw him a big number.
Yeah.
Over a lot of years, and now you're in a position where it's hard to turn down. You don't know if you're going to be a 100-point guy every year, which he looks now as a slam dunk if he stays healthy. He's that talented.
One of the bad contracts before he signed with Toronto was John Tavares.
His second contract with the Islanders was really...
Marchand was like that team. For a long time.
Well, the whole Bruins did, and now it's changed with McAvoy and Pasternak and, you know...
One guy looking for a UFA contract, Pat Kane. He's out there. He's skating in the Toronto area.
We got a text on the text line that said he was practicing with the London Knights today. So I don't know. We got an insider on the text line.
He's around. He's skating. Everybody says that he's close. Where do you think he ends up? There's a few teams linked to him, including the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, Florida's another one, right?
Florida, Dallas.
Sabres, to me, it's like they're just not ready for him to be there.
You know? Well, it's the hometown thing. He's always had the tie-in. But
Tage out. Yeah. Does that drive the price up for him?
Is his hip thing the same as Backstrom's, or is it different?
Mm.
I think it's a little bit different, right? Because, you know, Backstrom, Ed Jovanovski had what Backstrom had, and it was just tough getting another half season in. So, Kane, anyone going to give him more than 1 year?
I think it would be a really hard thing to do for sure without having some reassurance that he's healthy.
But you mentioned Sidney Crosby. So the last few years, Sidney Crosby, Artemi Panarin, and before last year, Patrick Kane, were always quietly in the top 10. You know what I mean? They weren't getting like Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid and others and Nathan McKinnon were kind of the new young guns.
Yeah, without the fanfare
coming
as
up.
Much.
Yeah, and you just look and go. And again, Artemi Panarin, whatever he was, you know, was sixth in scoring. Patrick Kane was always in the top 10. Just very, very quietly, those kind of players as veterans, you know, were able to. And you mentioned earlier about Sidney Crosby, consideration for the Hart Trophy. And a lot of people, that sounds foreign to a lot of people, but I thought it was a real valid point.
You want to text?
If we got any text questions.
I have a guy's thought on how they can fix overtime. I know you love
it. Love to hear it because I don't have any answers.
This is from TJ in Port McNichol. My idea for overtime is like college football, I think. Okay. Both teams get a 2-minute power play. Home team chooses first or second, and if it goes to a shootout there after the they're still tied after both power plays.
To me,
but you like it.
No,
it's more hockey than 3-on-3 is.
I dislike it. I dislike that just as easily as I do as the 3-on-3 now. So if you switched it, it wouldn't be that big of a deal to me.
Well, my one big one is make 3-on-3 8 minutes.
It's just...
Increase it from 5 to 8 minutes.
Not hockey.
It's not going to go away.
No.
It's not going to go away.
People throw out, let's make it like 8 minutes. Let's make it 10 minutes. The players and the Players Association aren't interested in making the players work longer.
No,
I can assure
we're
you.
We're talking 3 more minutes and what it gets into your depth
they don't
then. Because they're saying it's going to exhaust the elite players. Well, that's when the depth players... That's when Kipper gets a chance to come on minute 7, okay?
Go tell Sheldon Keith to go play Gregor in this scenario.
Well,
anyway, that ain't happening.
But that's one way eliminates a few more shootouts because, you know, it's...
Well, anyway. I saw a clip from Greg Wyshynski, who's on his, I forget his podcast, with Arda, and they were talking about it. And I think it's 70% of the games ended before the shootout. And the whole point of 3-on-3... was to have less games end in shootouts.
Yeah.
So it's worked. Like, you may not like the process, you may not like how it looks, but the general outcome is what they were trying to do.
You know,
70%.
You know, earlier this week, I came on this show and I called out the maintenance guy because it was so hot in here. And today he's getting me back because I'm
freezing.
Froze my ass off in this studio right now.
That was kind of cool. I'm glad
so
I brought a jacket.
So if you're out there, Mr. Maintenance Man, you got me. You got me because you can hang beef in here right now. Gordo, speaking of beef,
yes,
great job today.
Thank you, Kippy. Yeah, thank you. Good being reunited. And
you know how much I love you.
I know. Likewise. And the Sweden afternoon game, these games have been a little bit different, kind of a pleasure to watch at a different time.
How about that? Do not be a stranger around here, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And we're back on Monday on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.